Has cooking become a chore? Well, it doesn't have to be like that. Today in Joyful Eating, I'm going to be sharing the story of Linda, one of my clients who went from cooking one hot meal a day for decades and decades and losing the love for cooking to actually getting a lot more time back and enjoying her time in the kitchen a heap more. So listen on to hear Linda's story. Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Okay, so welcome to Joyful Eating, episode 153, where we're going to be talking about when cooking has become a chore, and I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with one of my joyful cooking students, Linda. But before we get to that, the best bite I had, so actually it was a slow cooker meal. So this was so great. I was so thankful for my former self because I just made a really simple, it was Japanese beef dish. So it was ground or minced beef and some miso paste, white miso paste. Just put them in the slow cooker. Went off and had a big day of doing work. And then we had this massive thunderstorm and we had a blackout. Like the power was off for a couple of hours. So luckily, my slow cooker meal was cooked and the residual heat kept warm. So we actually had a hot dinner, but rather than serving it with rice and cooked veggies, we just had it with salad and wraps and it was still amazing. So yeah, I love my slow cooker. But anyway, I digress. So let's jump into the conversation I had with Linda.
Welcome, Linda. Good to have you. I'm excited to be talking about your experience with Joyful Cooking. What was your relationship with cooking like back before you joined Joyful Cooking?
I enjoyed cooking quite a bit of the time. I like cooking. I like food. But I was just getting to the stage where going into the kitchen once or twice a day to cook a meal, it was like, what do I do? I just lost my mojo, to put it like that. So I wanted something that was simple, but I also didn't want somebody giving me a real do this by numbers type of thing. And so the fact that I'd been following your blog and listening to your podcast meant that I knew that you were a bit of a foodie and that you had a big background in not just food science, but also in enology or winemaking. It seemed as though you were the girl for me. And that's really how I got. I mean, it took me a couple of rounds of you recruiting before I finally said yes. I listened and I thought, you know, do I need this? You know, I'm a big girl. I can cook.
Right. So that was the hesitation. It's like, I already know how to cook. Right. And then so what made you like decide that actually, you know what, I'm going to give this a go?
I mean, partly listening to what was going on, and just that I realized it was a new philosophy. Simplify. I'd always look in the fridge and see what was there. I mean, I could cook from scratch and not bother with recipes. I wouldn't be inclined to go to Mr. Google or one of my cookbooks or something and see what I could do with these ingredients that was different. And so if we jump along, things like flavor bombs were a real blessing, something that came as quite a surprise. I mean, I think that was the main thing, you know, just to have this fresh approach.
Right. So it wasn't that you didn't have to actually go and look up recipes and that it, so before you would, You could pull something together, but you would tend to make it too complicated. Was that the...
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, right. And then by learning about flavor bombs, that really helped you just, I can just add one or two ingredients and it's going to taste really good and I don't have to worry about making it too complicated. Yeah, amazing. You were concerned about like that... You already kind of knew how to cook. So was the concern really like, am I really going to get anything out of this? Was that your hesitation, do you think?
Yes and no. I mean, I knew I'd get something out of it. because, you know, I'd been following you for a long time. But it was just what I was going to get out of it and would it work in my life? Because, you know, I have a husband, traditional husband. We sit down and we have dinner every evening. If he's at home, we have lunch. So were three ingredient meals going to hack it with him?
Right. Okay. And what happened, Linda?
Well, they did.
They did. Excellent. And so, what's your husband's response been to the meals that you've been cooking?
I don't think he's really noticed.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's like the quality, the standard's still good. He's still happy with everything. Yeah. But your experience of preparing the meals is different. Is that?
Yes. I mean, I'm not saying that I will do three ingredient meals absolutely every day, but they will come up probably three or four times a week. If I'm feeling tired and I go into the kitchen, I don't immediately sort of sag.
Right. And so, and do you think that's the biggest change, is that now that you have that base of like a really simple things you can do, yeah, when you go into the kitchen, it doesn't seem as heavy and as hard.
Yes. And it also means that when I do cook other things, I'm doing it because I want to. You know, if I decide that I'm going to do something a little bit more complex, then it's because I've got the time, it's because I want to do it. And it makes cooking more of a hobby again.
Right. So when you are making more complicated stuff, you're enjoying the process more now because it's optional. I love that, Linda. That's so cool. Hey, then you're getting the best of both worlds.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the other thing which I really enjoyed, although I, as you know, I haven't actually attended in person on a lot of the calls, but what I've enjoyed is how they've been structured to explain the background. Lots of things that that I knew that, you know, to do, or that I picked up from cookery books and things. It was nice to have a recap of them, and also to have it in a formula where I can go and look at it. And, you know, whatever was in the class is in circle. So I can go back and I can see, oh, yes, that was why that worked, or that was what made it a good thing to do. And with the meal patterns, which I think is a big thing, isn't it? Having the different, this is awful. I can't remember the name that you gave them, but it's
the muscle, muscle memory meals.
Yeah, my memory went. So having the muscle memory meals and just seeing it laid down, because in the past, if I was going to make a curry, it would be, you know, would either be Mr. Patak's sauce, or it would be starting right from scratch. And neither of the, well, starting from scratch is a long process. Mr. Patak is, you know, I don't know if you have that, but it's the
sauce. Yeah, we do.
Saucy. Yeah. So, you know, then that's just a very bog standard general thing that, you know, you put the chicken in and the sauce is always the same and whatever. So to know that there was a formula for doing it, and I tended to use your Thai formula rather than an Indian curry because I'm a little bit more precious about my Indian curries. And, you know, it's one of the things that when we go to London or places where you can get really good Indian food, you know, not the normal stuff, but the 3 or 4 star stuff, then that's something that we do. So, yes, I do pick and choose. And I think that's a great thing about your course. You can pick and choose what you take up from it. And even more important is the fact that you always take into account the fact that you may have somebody who is keto. You may have somebody who is low carb. You may have someone like me who has some food intolerances. So, yeah, don't have to cut them out all the time, but watch the gluten and watch the dairy. And always there is a work around that. And I think that that's what makes joyful cooking much, much easier and approachable than a lot of other courses, because they will tend to fit you into a slot.
Right.
This one does.
Yeah, it's great.
This one really is for everyone. I mean, I think you can start, you can come to the course and you don't need to know anything about cooking. And you can be like my mother who got married and could only cook an egg. And you would be able to work it out from the course what to do, because you start so simply with the abundance bowl, which was actually a little bit of a sticking point for me, because I wasn't used to eating food out of bowls. But we adapted. We made it an abundance plate, and now I'm quite happy putting it in a bowl.
I love that, Linda. Yeah, great. So that was a helpful thing for you, like having that options to adjust things to suit your food intolerances, like with the gluten and the dairy. Amazing. And so what do you think has been your favorite part about doing this work, Linda?
Well, getting some new approaches to things, always knowing that there's something different coming up, because once you finish the course, you can end the course. And come away feeling that you've really graduated. But the continuing on the graduate's course is great, because you ask us what we would like to hear about. You know, so for instance, at the moment, it's all cooking for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and how can we simplify those sort of things? And, I haven't actually seen the video of your simplifying kitchen equipment, but I listened to it in the car, and I'm going to go on because I want to see the equipment that you've got. I was so pleased that, you know, you didn't have a magic, well, at least you do have a Maginix, but you only use it occasionally, and you don't have one of these Cuisinart baking things, you know, the mixers. So that was great. That was great, you know, just using a stick blender. So and not even using a blender for a smoothie. That was an interesting one. So these are the sort of little tricks that you know, you pick up that you wouldn't necessarily, particularly if you've been working in kitchens or with kitchen staff, you wouldn't simplify things like that. You might go for, you know, just having, well, no, you probably wouldn't even go for just having one knife, because, you know, a chef would tell you, you have to do it this way.
Yes.
So that was really, that was another thing. And I say that as somebody who was dropped in at the deep end and had, the executive officer of a business club, and I had a restaurant and a bar and facilities, which I was not hands-on managing, but was the, you know, go-to person. So that was interesting, you know, just to see the different approach.
Just a quick break to say thank you for listening to Joyful Eating. I don't run ads on the podcast, so the only way this podcast grows is by word of mouth. So if you've received value from my work, I'd be so grateful if you took a few seconds to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. I appreciate you. Now back to the show.
So it's like, yeah, so you have like a really strong background in cooking and even professional kitchens. And you said like, but before you joined Joyful Cooking, that cooking was becoming a bit of a chore and you'd lost a bit of that love of it. So where are you at now, Linda, in terms of that relationship with cooking?
Well, where I am is that when I want to, I will make mince pies or cook an elaborate meal. Sort of planning a little bit of cooking for Christmas, not much, but I'm planning some. But it does mean that I've got a piece of snapper in the fridge, and so last night we had the snapper and I just did an oven meal. So put it in the oven, put some, what wasn't Old Bay, but it was a South African equivalent of Old Bay, spice over it, lemon juice, butter, a couple of slices of lemon, some capers in the oven, and that was it. I cooked potatoes and peas separately, but that was really because I managed to get some French potatoes, which in the Bahamas is extremely difficult, as you might imagine.
Yes.
So they were these lovely little French buttery potatoes. So I didn't want to put those in the oven. But, you know, steamers are wonderful things.
Amazing.
You cook one.
Oh, I'm not a steamer. But so you were able to just pull something together really easily last night.
Yeah.
You enjoyed
it. And then probably the other half, I'll do something similar, but I'll take a tomato soup-based sauce and make more of an Italian flavor to it. So a puttanesca or something like that. But a four-ingredient puttanesca.
Amazing. And so how are you feeling when you're in the kitchen now, Linda?
I'm not in the kitchen as much.
right.
Bung it in the oven and leave it.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, you're spending less time in the kitchen. But the time that you are there, how's that feeling?
It feels a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, great. So you've got back to it.
There's not the pressure.
Yeah, right. So there's no pressure. It's like it feels easy. Okay. And what surprised you most about being part of Joyful Cooking?
The number of different people that were doing the course and the different reasons. And I think that's one of the things that really can't be said enough, is that this, you know, it's not just for people like me, it's for anyone. As said, you know, if you haven't cooked at all, you would be able to come out at the end with enough meals in your back pocket to not worry about cooking anymore. Yeah. But also, I don't know if it comes out quite as much in the Joyful Cooking, but you deal also with adapting to children, for children. You also deal with adapting to, which is sort of a bit like adapting to children, different diet. So I mentioned that I had the IBS problem. I think that's something you've dealt with. You dealt with diet,
yeah.
Because you've also with IBS. And so you have very easy ways when we access you of saying, yes, well, what you can do is you can start with this, and then maybe the vegetable will be suitable for everyone, or maybe the children will want the vegetable, but there'll be something else for them. And it's still not adding a great deal to the amount of time or anything. It's just thinking about it differently and thinking, this is not a problem. This is easy. You know, I'll start with what we all eat and then add what's necessary. That was really a big thing because I do have to do that. I mean, you know, I will think, oh, no, I can't have this because it's got too much milk or whatever in it. On the other hand, it may be something like that my husband likes. And yeah, I think, I know the example you always give is potatoes. I was reading somewhere, somebody was saying that the Irish came out because they served their curry with potatoes.
Yeah, right. I was in, when we were in Ireland, we went to a Chinese restaurant and they served chips with the Chinese food.
So, yeah.
There you go.
And Chinese chippies are a big thing in the UK.
Yeah, right.
And they do serve chips and
rice. Yeah.
So, I mean, but this, I think this is where this is another thing that's so good about Joyful Cooking. It doesn't take itself seriously.
Yes, we have fun, don't we, Linda? Yeah.
And I think that's very important for people that are worried about cooking, just to know that you can laugh about it. We all have our disasters, and some of yours have come up in our Joyful Cooking.
Yeah.
Some of mine have been kept very quiet. But, but no, so that I think is another thing that I would really recommend, that if you don't want something that, as I said before, you don't want something which is prescriptive. You want something that is helpful and doesn't make you worry and doesn't make you think, oh, I missed that lesson, I'm going to be behind. Each lesson is complete in itself. And although there is an obvious flow to them and they work from one thing to another, if, for example, you miss the, let's say, the acid tasting, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah, so it's okay. So yes, that's right. So it's pretty low pressure, isn't it? Like you can kind of do it at your own pace and do it in your own order. Yeah.
And if you want, well, you can't jump ahead. That's the only thing. But you can go back. So if you can't be on the call one month, or, you know, you, for whatever reason, you can just have a look and say, oh, yeah, I missed that one. I wonder what this business about seasoning with salt was. Well, that was the first one, so maybe not the best example. But, you know, you can go back. Or if you think that there's something, maybe the acid is not quite sure did that work or didn't it, you can always go back and have a little listen or a little look and think it through again.
Yes. Yeah. So there's that flexibility. So who would you recommend Joyful Cooking to, Linda?
Well, I would say anybody with an open mind. So long as you approach it wanting to learn something, probably wanting to have a bit of fun on the way, it's going to work. Because certainly there have been people on the course with me who've been, I can tell, good cooks. And who are enjoying it. And then there have been people who are, sort of just taking baby steps and also enjoying it. And I think also people like me, but in a worse situation, because I'm fortunate, I have an intolerance. I don't have an allergy or a celiac disease or anything. But also people who have problems trying to work out what they can eat and what they can't eat.
Yeah, navigating the dietary thing.
Navigating dietary thing. Because you can navigate your dietary requirement without having to sit down and have a regimented list of things. You know, I can't do that, I can't do that. So, do you learn methods of having these meals? I mean, from that point of view, people can make meals for other people that they can also eat themselves. And that, I think, is a big plus. Because, if you're restricted, I mean, for those people, it is a restriction. It can be very difficult getting out. So to know that the recipes that we're getting can be adapted, and how to adapt them is a big thing. So busy mums, people who want to learn, people who want to improve, people who are just bored. lost their interest in cooking.
Yeah, like where you were, like feeling a bit when they walk into the kitchen, or think about cooking. Like anyone who wants to bring their joy back, isn't it, Linda?
Yes, that actually is a big thing, bringing the joy back into cooking, bringing the enjoyment back.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat, Linda. I really appreciate it.
Well, I've enjoyed it too.
Okay, so if you'd like to be like Linda and actually simplifying cooking and giving yourself that option of, like, if you want to follow a recipe and do something more complicated because you want to, amazing, but also for those everyday, night after night, weeknight meals, having those simple options so that you can just go into the kitchen and pull something together that's satisfying and delicious, but isn't taking hours and hours and stressing you out and feeling like work, like where it actually still feels like fun, then I invite you to join my 21-day Cooking Confidence Challenge. So it's going to give you that confidence to be able to look in the fridge and just whip up something fresh and satisfying and enjoy yourself as part of the process. So the challenge is, it's 21 days and we're going to be running it, the first one in February 2024. So it's going to be a small group. I'm keeping it to 50 people because we're going to be, rather than it just be me teaching you stuff or some live course, some recorded course, it's actually going to be an interactive session where we have cook-alongs or live on Zoom where I'm cooking in the kitchen, but you're also in the kitchen cooking. So we're going to be doing it together. And so you'll be able to ask me in real time, oh, what about this? Like if you get stuck with anything, we can brainstorm ideas together. So it's going to be super fun, but it is a limited number. So you do want to get on the wait list. So to do that, you just need to go to my blog, which is thestonesoup.com, and click on the challenge tab and get your email address in there so I can let you know when the application's open. So it's for anyone. It's like all cooking levels. So if you're a beginner cook and you're not like Linda, but you just don't have a lot of experience cooking at all, this really, my simple framework, my three ingredient framework is going to make it possible, like, and make cooking feel doable for you. So it's perfect if you're just starting out, but it's also going to be helpful if you're like more experienced, if you're a recipe cook and you want to get that confidence to be able to go off piste and actually be able to pull together things without necessarily having to look at the recipe or like go back to keep looking at the recipe. And then also, even if you're like Linda and so she's had experience in commercial kitchens, but cooking it had like the cooking that she was used to doing was in that more complicated range. And so it felt like difficult. And so if you're in that place where you can wing it, but it's not feeling fun anymore, then this 21 day challenge is going to be perfect to like reignite the spark and reignite that joy that you do that could be buried in there somewhere, that love that you have had for cooking. So if any of that sounds good, get on the wait list. I would love to see you in the challenge. Okay. Have a beautiful week and I will catch you next week. Bye. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.